And I'm going to invite the Aguas team out on stage. We're going to share a little bit this morning about our trip. And so we're going to take a few minutes right now, but we're not going to do a full share. We will be sharing more in the Faith Cafe after the service. So if you have more questions or anything like that, feel free to join us in the Faith Cafe after the service. We'll have some pictures and some slides up for you. You can grab a cookie and your cup of coffee, and we'll share about our trip even more. But right now, I think everybody is ready to share one thing that impacted them on the trip. So I guess I can start. I already have the microphone. One thing that I thought was really awesome on the trip was actually watching our young adults here interact. It was a whole lot of fun watching their relationships grow stronger and grow a little bit more centered on Jesus and who he is for them and what he's done for them. They did a lot of sharing. They shared testimony with each other. They shed tears together. They laughed together. It was really awesome. And I know that some of those new friendships and strengthened friendships have continued to grow and become stronger even since we've been home. So I'm really looking forward to just continuing to watch that grow over the next couple of years and see these young adults here ready to support each other and help each other to stay on that path that can be hard to walk. So thank you very much, guys, for that.
I'll go next. I agree with Dustin. Just to watch them share their stories with each other and during the different outreaches that we did, whether it's the rehab center, what have you. And it was neat to see them. Some of them got to share a devotional, and that was awesome, too. Maddie did her own, so maybe she can share it someday.
Yeah, there are lots of great God moments throughout the week, and I have something to share that not necessarily a God moment, other than he provided definitely some protection for us down there. But one of the highlights for my trip was got to drive in Mexico, so that's a different experience. And one of the first rules of the road that I learned from Sam was stop signs are optional. So I really like that rule and think we should incorporate more in Franklin County. So if you want to stop, that's up to you. Second rule is U-turns are always a good idea. So it's always great to be ready for a U-turn. And the third rule is that if you think you need to get over four lanes with about 100 feet to the intersection, it is possible to go to the right lane to four lanes over to the left lane within about 100 feet of the intersection, still make the light. So that was the third rule, that driving is fun in Mexico.
I would say one of the most impactful things for me was just seeing all the kids' joy as we did stuff for them. So one of the things I did was I bought a bunch of candy for some of the kids for one of our lessons, and they were just all over it. Like, it was just so exciting, and I got to see all their joy and happiness from it, and so it was really uplifting for me.
I think the part that impacted me the most was going to the rehab center, and since I speak Spanish, I just got to hear some people's testimonies one-on-one and just got to have little conversations with them and ask how they're doing, how their walks are doing with God. And specifically, there's a man called Pablo, and he went blind 6 years ago. He's currently 46, and when he went blind, he started drinking, feeling really lonely. His family kind of abandoned him. But through being through this rehab center that Sam and Jenny have helped put on with a few pastors down there and volunteers, he's gotten to know Christ, and he feels really loved by the people that are with around him and with him, and so he's not lonely anymore, and he knows God, and he just knows that God is his number one. So I think that was the biggest impact that I had.
I had a lot of good experiences with everyone here and meeting a lot of people down in Mexico, the rehab center, the kids that we spent time with. sharing my testimony was a big one for me. I don't talk about myself that much, and these guys kind of brought it out of me. So, yeah, they got to know a little bit more of me, and yeah.
Hello. I'd say probably the most impactful part of the week for me personally was actually the birthday party you guys threw for me. It wasn't even my birthday, but it just really meant a lot to me, and yeah.
I'm kind of going to copy Lily's. One of my favorite things was just like seeing the kids. They were super excited to talk to us and just to see us. Like, they were excited to have a conversation, even when we couldn't really have that good of a conversation because we don't speak Spanish, really. So, yeah, it was just really cool. They were super excited and super happy and joyful with everything.
Mine is pretty much like Maddie's. I'd say the most impactful thing was just how the kids were just so excited to talk to us, even though we couldn't understand what they were saying. They still wanted to talk to us and tell us like what they were doing and wanted us to play with them and just always wanted to take pictures with us.
My most impactful time on the trip was when we were on the Green Line. Like, we went two different days. It was just kind of a park in the middle of the city. And there was just always kids there, always people that wanted to be talked to. And there was like this volleyball team that just sat and played with us for the longest time. And there was some kids, we learned how to ask kids to play tag in Spanish, and me and Mia and Maddie and all of us like found a ton of kids to play tag with us. It was really cool.
I'd say the most impactful moment is when we went to Cumbres, which was a poor area of town, but just to see how happy those kids were. We got to play soccer with them and give them a lesson, and it really just makes you appreciate how much we have here.
I think that was the cue. Well, let's thank you all so much, and thank you for supporting us on for going on this trip. Let's praise God and thank Him for all the wonderful things we experienced. Yeah, go ahead. You guys are done. One more thing that I do want to share. Sam and Jenny are here today with their family, our hosts from Mexico. I think Sam is going to be sharing a little bit with Rob this morning. One of the things that I had a conversation with Jenny about, what's something you guys need? We had an opportunity for some generosity, so I had that conversation with her, and it sparked a little bit of a thought. And so what she has asked for us to do is to do a toy drive. Not big things, little things. Things that they can give away at their kids' club or at different ministry opportunities or when they go to the Green Line and they're playing with kids. Things that can be handed out and given away. So over the next several weeks, I think they're planning on being back about May 12th. So that gives us a month or so. So if you could, the next couple of weeks on Sunday mornings, bring a small toy. Pencils, erasers, bouncy balls, little dinosaur things, whatever it is, we'll have a spot to collect them and bring those in so that we can send those back with Sam and Jenny and they can bless those kids even more. So that's my plea for that. And now I'm going to invite the band out and let's stand up and pray and prepare our hearts for a time of worship. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for this day. I want to thank you and praise you that you have brought this community together into a body that we know as the church. And I want to thank you for the generosity that you have laid on the heart of this body that we can do things like send kids to Mexico on a mission trip or send toys to Mexico to bless kids. And I thank you for the generosity in serving the people who serve on the worship team, the people who serve in other ways, like cutting down dead trees, Lord. It's not always glamorous, but serving you is always glorious. And I pray this morning as we worship you that all of the glory and all of the honor goes to you because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, Faith family. I'd like to invite Sam and Jenny up here to share with us this morning. There are missionaries that we support in Mexico, so our team was just being hosted by them, doing ministry alongside each other, and now they're back. So give them a warm round of applause here. And who can help me find a mic? They back up there? Okay. Excellent.
Is it cold here, Sam?
That's why I still have a sweater on.
It's good to be back. Like I like to say when we get back, it's light. I love to see a lot of familiar faces. I love to see a lot of faces I don't know. That's good on both sides. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Sam. This is Jenny. Thank you very much for sending the team down just a few weeks ago. Look forward to hearing more from them after the service also. But I also just wanted to share a little bit about what's been going on with us lately, a few of the different things we're doing down there. One of the first things I wanted to mention is an opportunity I've had over the past few years is to be working with a group of pastors. For those who might not remember our context and everything, the area where we're at in Mexico is called the Circle of Silence. It's less than 2% Protestant Christian. And with that, there's just not the Christian community a lot of times we take for granted up here. Not just are there not very many other Christians, the community which is between those believers also isn't real great just because they're few and far between. And I know that's especially felt by a lot of the pastors there. In our context, once you hit having roughly 70 or 80 people consistently in your church, you're known as a big church. There's just one pastor per church, which is there's nothing against that at all. But without much church interaction, those pastors a lot of times tend to get really lonely. They start to get burnt out. They start to get discouraged just with the things right there. So over the past few years, we've been able to form a group of pastors that we normally meet together once every 2 weeks. Where there's probably about a dozen of us who meet quite regularly. I've had the opportunity to be teaching some of them, giving some of them classes, but it's also been neat just to start to meet together and start to see the things we could also do together. That's not necessarily the purpose of our meetings. The purpose of our meetings is just, and we say this, to encourage one another, to listen to each other about the struggles we're having, to help each other out just emotionally, spiritually, those things. But then also starting to see the things we can accomplish for the gospel when we're working together as opposed to just each one of us working on our own. In this next couple weeks, this group of pastors has a couple of technology classes geared towards kids, programming classes, just as a way to reach out to some of the communities right around a few of those churches. Also, this group of pastors has been a landing spot for Now, I don't want to say hosting because that's not really the right word, but three younger Venezuelan missionaries have also kind of joined the group, and we've been able to be their community also while they get plugged in, because not only are they in an area without much of the Christian context, as I was saying, but they're just also lonely because they're out of their countries. They don't know the people there. They were sent by another church there in Mexico, trained there, and then sent to our area. So it's been neat being able to interact with them a bit too and help them get their churches off the ground also. That's one of the kind of random things we've been involved in lately. I wanted to give Jenny a chance to share about something she's been doing lately.
If you remember, we have four boys. 15 is David, James is 13, then Joshua is 7, and Timmy is 6. So as you can imagine, my life is kind of full with them, and I homeschool. But I try to look for ministries that I can do either with them or for them. And so one of the ministries I've been working on the last few years is a kids club in a kind of unreached little town right outside our city. And it's been really neat to see the kids coming, and now we're starting to pull the moms. And that's been really exciting to see the moms starting to come, dads, and we've been able to pull them together and start offering some Bible studies at the same time as the kids are working on learning their verses. The parents get their own little devotional and are being exposed to God in the Bible. And it's exciting to see we have one couple that is coming regularly and are interested in the studies. They've come to a couple events at church so far, but just slowly getting more interested in hearing the gospel. So that's been really exciting. And another thing I do is I work with the youth group since my kids are growing up. They're no longer kids anymore. They're also getting older. So it's been exciting to see the youth grow and helping them grow in their love for God and grow in their desires to help other people. We've been, as a youth group, going once a month or once every other month, taking food either to a hospital and serving it to those who are waiting outside for their family members inside and praying with them. And we've also gone to take food to migrants that are traveling on the trains coming up here and just pray with them and be like, hey, what's going on? Why did you leave your town? Who did you leave behind? Where are you going? And just praying with them and hearing their stories. And it's been neat for the youth to kind of see, oh, there's other things going on in this world. There's more needs out there than just my own needs. And so that's been exciting for me, just seeing the youth and the children's ministries grow and reach out to more people.
And as Brianna was sharing here this morning, one of the areas she appreciated seeing and interacting with is the rehab center we've been able to start up in the past few years. This all came about because a few years ago, we had some situations with drug and alcohol abuse in our church, but also we were getting to know other people with those problems also. And we started working with other rehab centers in the area, doing stuff with them, helping them out. But then we realized some maybe not so great things that were going on there. So me and a member of my church, who at the time we were also in the process of spinning off, and he's pastoring a daughter church of ours now, we decided to give it a go and start this rehab center. And so that's been going on for the past 3 years now, which has just been, it's been a blessing to see how God works in that place. But it's also been complete mayhem at the time, both of us learning how to minister to these people, how to let these people impact us. Also, this week, we sat down and we talked with Pastor Rob for a while. Knowing he shared with us a little bit about, you know, kind of this talk about the family, about parenting and these types of things. And that made me reflect on one of the things that stood out to both Rodrigo and I. That's the other guy that helps me with the rehab center that we do this together. The vast, vast, vast majority of the people which are interned in our rehab center, when you ask them, so how did you start with drugs and alcohol? The vast, vast, vast response is from family pressures, just feeling inadequate doing things or like they don't belong or just being rejected by others. And a lot of times, honestly, they're in the rehab center because they had this drug addiction, and so the family kind of has the legal right to sign them away, and a lot of times they don't want much to do with the person. And so a lot of times what we're doing with these people from ground zero is teaching them, what does it mean to have healthy relationships with other people? What does it mean to have a family? Maybe your family is no longer intact. Maybe it's a disaster, whatever. But how can we hope or help form a family here between all of us? How can we help to have those bonds between us? And reflecting on that, it's really true in a lot of our ministries. You know, a lot of times we, or people come back from mission trips, or we come back from the mission field, and we talk about the orphans, we talk about these people, we talk about the people in the rehab center. But the truth is also, there's a lot of people around us in our society who have families, but don't have families, because they're not getting that spiritual nourishment they need from their families. They're not having that healthy impact in their lives. And us as believers, then, that means we have to be pouring into our family like that. And we also have to be pouring in to other people's families also. We have to be the family for the familyless. You know, and I don't think it's a coincidence that one of the biggest words we use in the Bible to relate to our God is Father, showing that relationship with him. So yeah, throughout, we'll be here after the service. You can talk with us to figure out more what's going on or what we've been up to and things like that, although we're also looking forward to hearing from the group right afterwards. Dustin shared also we'll be back in May also, and in May we'll be a little bit more stable in the Iowa area, so if you'd want to get together with us sometime, we'd love to get together with you. We would love to hear what's going on in your life and your interactions with others also, but I also just want to use this time to say thank you so much for your support from this church, from the individuals, from the teams coming down. Thank you very much. And over this time that we're in the U.S. for a little bit, we look forward to sharing more with you. Thank you very much.
Let's pray for Sam and Jenny here. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness of this couple to go serve your family in Mexico. Pray, Lord, for your sustaining strength for them, Lord, for their personal family, for their church family, for those that they're connecting to, Lord. Just pray protection over them in Jesus' name and fruitful ministry, and thank you for their service. Amen. All right, thanks, man. Well, good morning. So the start of a new month, and last month we looked at God's plan for marriage and gender and what he created as good, how it was distorted, how he is coming to redeem that, and all the aspects that we can learn about God through marriage. This month we're looking at parenting and families. And there is so much that we can learn about the character of God. I want to remind you that when God created the world, he knew what he was doing. He created biology. He knew what examples he would draw from. It was not an afterthought. And he created these little people to show up in our homes, helpless, needing everything of dependence from their parents to help shape our understanding of who God is. And because this is, just like marriage, a reflection of who God is, to understand God as parent, I believe is a reason that families are under attack and parents and children are under attack, because the enemy doesn't want us to understand who God is. He doesn't want to see God as a good parent. And let me show you some stats here that are quite alarming. So I don't expect you to be able to read all this, but it shows that almost a quarter of U.S. children live in single-parent homes in the United States, more than any other country. I was surprised by that. So there's some other countries here like Israel, India, they have 5%, it says. Nigeria, Vietnam, 4%. Here in the United States, though we might claim to be a theological leader in the world, our families aren't showing it. More kids in America don't have time with their parents compared to these other countries. I'll roll this next slide and make it a little more clear for you. So that was some research Pew Research did back in 2010 through 2018. They collected this information from all these different countries. And they did a more recent study in 2022 that shows that number is now 31%. That's quite a jump. And the current children that are being born right now, more of them are born to unmarried mothers than married mothers. I think this trend is going to continue, where kids are growing up not understanding what it means to be in a stable family as God had intended it. I've also learned cross-culturally that there's some things we can learn from how some other cultures prioritize things. For example, my in-laws, my mother-in-law grew up in Honduras and has 7 sisters and a few brothers. My first time meeting them was outside on a 4th of July picnic, and all the family was there. They had all flown in from Honduras. They grilled me pretty good. Because I was there, and they wanted to protect Elaine, to say, who is this guy? We're going to get to know him. Another cross-cultural example would be a man from my previous church. He was from Ghana in Africa, and he always talked about providing for his family, and he never meant money. He had 4 daughters, and he would always tell me, Rob, he goes, I'm the only one to provide emotionally for my family. He took that very seriously, to the point that he even quit a quite lucrative job that had him traveling overseas to Taiwan often as a trader. He quit that, said, I need to provide for my family, and this job is getting in the way. Wow, interesting. Another pastor I know, he had told me the story. He was in Africa, and a man asked him, how come American men are so unproductive? And he's watching this man as he sits around in the middle of the afternoon going, what is he talking about? I think American men are working pretty long hours, actually. But what he meant was, this man had 12 children. He was measuring his wealth a little differently than we might in America. So I want to show you some more stats here. I'll let you fill in the blank first. What would you write? It is extremely important that my children blank. How do you answer that? You could say, extremely important that they eat their vegetables. Okay, that's a lot of parents' goals. To make the sports team, to get good grades, don't get in trouble, don't be too loud, behave with your siblings, be considered a good kid. What that ends up doing is creating adults who eat their vegetables. They got a job. They're not too loud. They get along. And yet a lot of these people are miserable, suffering under sin and death, and are going to hell. And you got to wonder, was that God's intention? Was that the top priority as a parent? And here's the research of how parents are prioritizing things in America. These are the top answers. It is extremely important that my children, 88%, financially independent, enjoy their careers. 66%, they're honest people. 48% hardworking, 41% college degree, 40% help others, 21%, 20% get married, have children. That's actually kind of a low number, I think. What's missing there? God. And yet we're a Christian nation, is what we'll say. But do our priorities, when we walk out of the church building, align with that? Here's where God shows up. It's next on the list. 17% be the religious beliefs of their child. Which that spiritual direction, that spiritual leadership, we believe is the most important factor of a child's well-being for their life. Next slide, please. So here's how the Apostle John would answer this question. And see if you can get ahead of me and guess where this is headed, okay? It is extremely important that my children, what? Anybody know? Know the Lord. Yes. Are walking in the truth. And yet our culture And the enemy doesn't want our kids walking in the truth. They want our kids walking in lies. Lies that they are worthless, not valuable. Lies that they can't make it, that they can't do it. I was at a YFC event this week, and they showed a big list of all of these negative messages our kids receive. And like that friend of mine in my church who says, "You know what, Rob? For my four girls, I'm the only one who can provide for them." To provide what they need. I think that's what was on John's heart here. So let me show you this scripture. This is out of 1 John. And he says it twice. So if you forget if it's out of, it's out of 2 John and 3 John. So if you forget which of the letters, just guess. And it's probably going to be chapter 1, verse 4. Because he says the same thing in both. And at this point, the Apostle John was the only one not to be martyred out of all the disciples. He is the only one who lived to see old age. And as you enter old age, your priorities start to shift and you start to reflect a little more of what was important and what was worthwhile in your life. And here he says, "How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded." He says that to the people he writes in 2 John. How happy it is to see your children walking in the truth. That's great. And in 3 John, he changes his tune a bit. He says, "I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth." This reminds me of my high school football coach. They brought him out of retirement to our school to help start a program as our school stopped co-oping with some other schools. We were going to have our own team because we had enough seniors to make it happen. So we bring out this legend of 50 years Hall of Famer football coach in his 80s. And he'd call his players son. Kind of, I think of that as this John who says, "You might not be my child or my grandchild, but he knows that there's enough of a need out there, enough of a breakdown of what God originally intended, that others need to step in the gap to call someone son and someone daughter." And he would do that for us. And he got a lot of respect from us for that. So if you want to say, "Hey, Pastor Rob, the context here is not talking about biological children, okay?" Well, you're only strengthening my point here, is that this applies to everybody, biological or not. So raise your hand if you have children. Raise your hand if you have grandchildren. Raise your hand if you know someone younger than you. All right, there's only one little baby back there that shouldn't have their hands raised. And he was following my directions. That's good. That's good. Smart little guy. So let's go look at these priorities here as we turn the corner. Colossians and Ephesians, we looked at those last week about marriage. And the first thing, after talking about the gospel for a few chapters in a lot of these letters, Paul would turn the corner and start saying, "Hey, here's how to live a godly life. Here's priorities. These are foundational building blocks that God is building upon." And he starts off with marriage in each of these. You can see that in the white in that first paragraph. Then he moves over to children and families. And what's third on the list? Work. Not a bad way to prioritize things. And so here in Colossians, he says, "Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And then fathers, do not aggravate your children, they will become discouraged." Part of the reason I think these three things get listed the same order over in Ephesians as well is because these things reflect the character of God. That was the purpose of marriage in the first place, that we would better understand God's covenant love to us. That's why families are set up the way they are, so that we can better understand the love of God. That's why we're even given work and employment so we can understand the character of God. Over in Ephesians, we see this in the same order: marriage, families and children, and work. And yet there's some more detail here that I'd like to show you. And it says, first, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So this isn't just a message to the parents. Children, listen up. You have a big role in making this work. It says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise. So this is one of the Ten Commandments, is honor your father and mother. Honor means value them. Imagine your life without a mother or a father. Value them. It says, if you honor your father and mother, the promise given is that things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. My dad loved to joke with this verse when I started to try and tease him to get into a wrestling match. He'd say, honor your father so that you may live long on the earth. It didn't stop me. I still try to get the wrestling match out of him. But this idea of it going well for you, it makes me think in the garden of saying, this is good. God made this for parents to have children, and it's good. It's a good thing. The problem with sin and the fall is that it gets distorted. And sometimes the things that God made that are most beautiful become most twisted. And there are things as parents we can do to make it easier for our children. Much like a husband can do things to make it easier for his wife. Vice versa. And employers can make it easier for their employees. Same thing here. And that's in this next verse, in verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. So, I'm not going to use anger as force here. Rather, bring them up. That word for bring them up means to nurture and nourish. In other words, provide all that they need so that they can grow, be brought up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Comes from the Lord. You see, every family is going to have their gaps. Every person grows up with their wounds because a mom and a dad wasn't ever meant to be the end-all, be-all for a child's entire life. The goal of parenting is to transfer that dependence upon them to a dependence upon God, because God fills the gaps. Ultimately, all parenting is to reflect who God is as the ultimate parent, as our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to show you three verses here about God as Heavenly Father. So first John 5:1 says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. You're all a child of somebody out there, and yet they weren't able to be the end-all, be-all for you. And that's okay. I grieve with you over that. Those are the biggest wounds I think you'll ever have in your life. God created it to be good and very good. And yet sin has distorted that to be bad, and sometimes very bad. But God has redeemed. Remember Easter? Didn't we talk about that? That there is a power at work. A tremendous power where God is redeeming what He had originally created. He wants to be your parent. He wants to heal that wound. And through Jesus Christ, we can become a child of God and let him into that space of our heart. To let go. To embrace what God has for us as a heavenly parent. And likewise, that example and that God embraces us as his children, it's through that that we learn how to be a parent or a mentor or a grandparent. We think, how has God parented me? Because ultimately, our job as a parent, grandparent, mentor, to those younger, we are to reflect the character of God to those younger. Ephesians 1:5 is the next scripture. Mentions adoption. God had decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he didn't adopt us as a begrudging parent. But look at this. This is what he wanted to do. He wanted you. He delights in you. There's a scripture in Zephaniah that says he rejoices over you with singing. He holds you with delight as a child. And it gave him great pleasure. For those that have done foster care, I know I've speaking with a few of you this week and adoption, you understand this. There are a lot of kids out there, a lot of people out there that have that hole of a parent. And as the faith family, we are called to adopt them. To say, you know what, young man, young woman, maybe God didn't plan for you to be in my biological family, but he has called you into our faith family, and I want to be there for you. Ephesians 5:1 is the third verse. It says that we should, this is before, at the end of this scripture, back in chapter 6 is when we looked at this idea of children. And here it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Kids are good at imitating their parents, the good and the bad. That's how we become more like God, spend time with him. And as his children, we can become more like him. Hopefully so that the little eyes and little ears that are tuned into us can do also. And then I want to show you the pastoral epistles in closing to show this order of priority. It shows up not just in Colossians and Ephesians, but look at these instructions in the pastoral epistles. What always comes one, the one, two? It's marriage and family. The older women are to train the younger women about marriage and their children. An elder in the church. You might say, well, they have an important task. They need to focus first and foremost on governing the church. No. Their most important task, marriage and family. Same thing with deacons, marriage and family. You see, whenever there's every once in a while you hear someone that's disqualified for leadership because of something on the home front. And I think about that in terms not of they can't do their role at the church, but that they have a more important thing to invest their time in. Doesn't that make sense? When God has called you first to this. And I've seen my parents invest their lives. My dad's turning 70 at the end of the month. They've done a lot. My dad's had successful careers. I know as a young guy, I probably thought my dad was doing maybe a little more than my mom. But now that they're older and retired, and I get to celebrate Easter with my 12 nieces and nephews who are all walking with the Lord, I think, wow. Those efforts my mom made, those efforts my dad made, they were well worth it. And certainly, our children have a role in this too. They're making choices that we can't control. I get that. We can look in future weeks about that. How that also reflects the character of God and our relationship with Him. But for today, as we begin this month, I want to think about our priorities, because most of our culture have the wrong ones. Most of the culture prioritizes that our kids make the team for sports, or that we'll have enough money for them to go to the best college so that they can make the most money. I get it, that's part of providing, but the top need is that our children would be walking in the truth. Culture offers our children like a sacrifice to the idol of materialism far too often. And as Faith Family, we say no. We're not going to do that. I'm proud of us. In the last 3 years, we've renovated both our children, youth spaces, and hired a family life pastor. I think that reflects a pretty firm commitment to these priorities. But as we move forward, it's going to take all of us to get behind this for our community. Because there are not a lot of young families going to church in Hampton, Iowa. I talked to the pastors at Franklin Ministerial Camp. Not a lot of families. This is our mission field. And out of any country in the world, the greatest need is right here. So come back next week. We'll continue to explore what God's heart is for this. And there's no greater way to reflect on that than understanding communion and what God, as a parent, gave for His children. He gave everything. It cost Him His life to adopt us into His family. Any effort always begins with a heart check. Why are we going to do this? And this is why we're going to do this. So come and grab the elements and bring it back to your seats, and we'll take the Lord's Supper together. For every time you eat this bread, drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. As we leave today, don't forget Easter and the message that holds for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, your parents. Because that power is raising us up to the day that there will be no more pain and no more sorrow. When all of creation will cry out, look, God has made His dwelling place with His people and with His children. So we move forward knowing who fills the gaps. May He fill yours this week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You prioritized us as Your children. And help us do the same, Lord. Protect our kids in Jesus' name from the attacks of the enemy, from the lies that would like to drive them to despair and hopelessness. Lord, help them provide for them what You would want to provide for them. Lord, a dependence on You to fill the gaps of their heart. Lord, thank you for the unconditional love we have in you as a parent, Lord, that you rejoice over us with singing, that you long to hold us in your arms. Let us rest in those arms, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.